I'd like to begin by inviting you to our text of Scripture, please. And that will be found in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews 11, we want to return there once again this week. And let me start by saying what an honor and a privilege it is to preach God's Word once again. I am grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come to you by way of Facebook Live. And it is my prayer that God will make these sermons a blessing to you as we seek to look at God's Word. In this time of quarantine, we give God's Word a prerogative in our lives and an important place. Hebrews chapter number 11, God laid it on my heart to preach on the subject of faith, my mind was, of course, drawn to Hebrews chapter 11. And as last week we laid the foundation through the first three verses, and as I went back to the drawing board this week, seeking to find what it is I would say, I did not feel liberty to leave this chapter. So as far as I'm concerned, we'll stay right here until these Facebook Live Wednesday nights are hopefully in the near future done, and we can get back to having regular Wednesday nights. But as we continue this, I just want to look in Hebrews chapter 11. We want to continue talking about living by faith. So let's read our text of Scripture, and I want to cover verses 4 through 7 tonight by God's grace. So I hope you have your Bible and you're looking with us in chapter 11, verses 4 through 7. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. I do thank you for this opportunity to preach the word of God. And I pray for everyone tuned in right now, whether they're tuned in live as I speak or tuning in the future, watching the recording. I pray that you would add a special blessing to the preaching of your word. I pray that you would take me as your vessel, that you would cleanse me of my sin, empty me of myself, and fill me with the Spirit of God, that I may be able to preach, well, thus saith the Lord. Do a mighty work in this time. We'll give you honor. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we laid the foundation with our thesis statement, which is this. We must demonstrate our faith by not only trusting in Christ for salvation, but by trusting in Christ in every situation. Faith is the common denominator of all of our lives. We all have faith in someone or something. But saving faith, specifically, the faith that the righteous or the just live by, is defined as a, quote, conviction of the truth, belief, trust, and reliance. It is faith that is placed in God, and in particular, His provision of a Savior and a substitute and a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is spiritual sight granted by the grace of God that is the substance or concrete foundation of things hoped for and the clear evidence of things not seen. As Aurelius Augustine said, I believe, therefore I see. Now, by human wisdom, we want to see before we believe. If God will show us something, then we will believe it. But we have it backwards. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, which is really what that is. If you'll show me it, then I will believe it. But Scripture teaches that saving faith is when God tells us something through His Word. He tells us something, we believe it, and then our eyes are open to the reality of what He tells us. For instance, God tells us that we are fallen sinners, lost in iniquity. Once we believe that, the eyes of faith begin to see the reality of the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And it seems that there's evidence all around us. That is faith that has opened our eyes to the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of the concrete reality of the unseen world that is open to our eyes. We must live that way. We must live that way by not only trusting in Jesus as our Savior, but trusting in Jesus as our shepherd. We must demonstrate our faith. Hebrews was written with the chief design of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the only object worthy of our faith, our confidence, and our trust. Jesus is the culmination and completion of all of the promises of God. He is the Savior that gives substance to the shadows of the Old Testament. However, He is accessed one way, and that is by faith. Which is why the author of Hebrews here in chapter 11, after making his deep and beautiful and eloquent and Holy Spirit-inspired argument through chapters 1 through 10, he says, now that we see who Jesus is, how do we access that? How do we claim our Savior? We do that by faith. So in this chapter, he is giving us the full grip, the full showing of biblical saving faith. We looked last week at the demonstration of faith and the definition of faith. And we saw that the biblical view of faith is that it is not a one-time profession only, but it is also a lifelong possession, which is why I've titled this Living by Faith. The question is not, have you trusted Jesus? The question is, have you trusted Jesus and are you trusting Jesus? So for the rest of this chapter, from verses 4 to 40, the author presents to us how faith has been demonstrated throughout the history of God's people. And we can glean much and learn much from these verses and apply them to our lives in this time of crisis and in times of peace. So we have three illustrations, three historical figures, three men of faith that I want to look at tonight. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Abel shows us that faith worships in the right way. Enoch shows us that faith walks in the right way. And Noah shows us that faith witnesses or works in the right way. So, in verse number 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaketh. The author takes us all the way back to the beginning, to the two first brothers that ever walked the planet, showing us that faith is not a new phenomenon, but something that has been around for ages. We see two characters here. We see not only Abel, but we see his brother Cain. Cain is remembered as the founder of the world's first false religion. And the interesting point is, the foundation of Cain's false religion can be traced through every single false religion in history. His false belief can be seen. It was essentially a religion of works and human merit. Cain approached God on the basis of his own sweat, toil and blood. And this way of worshiping, of approaching God, was rejected root and branch by Almighty God. In strict contrast, Abel approached God by way of a lamb and took his stand as a hopeless sinner needing a Savior and a substitute, and slew the lamb in announcement that he was going to approach God in God's way. Remember that God had previously shed blood and slain and killed what was most likely a lamb to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness and shame. This is why Abel's sacrifice, as the scripture says, was more excellent than Cain's. It was faith in God that approached God in God's way. The way of sacrifice and substitute. The way of Calvary. We must not approach God on the basis of our own works, on the basis of our own merit, but on the basis of the works and the merit of another, of the sweet Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel, this great man of faith, obtained witness that he was righteous, not because of his works, but because of his faith in God, and in God's provision of a substitute and a sacrifice. Those that have saving faith approach God not by their own blood and sweat, but by the blood and the sweat of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the sweat in Gethsemane that gives us access to God. Not our own sweat in the garden, but Christ's sweat in the garden that gives us access to Almighty God. How do we see that? We see that with eyes of faith. Abel's life did not end well by earthly standards. He was killed and slain by his own brother. He was slain unrightfully so, and condemned unrightfully so. And that may not have been well by the earth standards, but he takes his place by the Lord Jesus Christ, who was also condemned by his own brethren. Faith identifies us with Jesus. It makes us Christ-like, and Abel is content where he sits tonight in the realms of glory, and Cain is not where he sits today in the realms of condemnation. Abel's testimony of faith still speaks to us today. He being dead, yet speaks. His testimony is powerful. His sermon is still being preached, that we must approach God in God's way. We must think about the coronavirus from God's perspective. We must think about our jobs from God's perspective. Our marriages from God's perspective. We must come to church and worship the way God would have us to worship. We should study scripture the way God would have us do it. And we should approach God in God's way. Namely, through the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith alone. Through grace alone. We learn first from Abel's testimony that faith worships God rightly. We learn secondly from Enoch's testimony that faith walks rightly. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. How did Enoch please God? He pleased God by faith. Enoch, interestingly, in Genesis 5, stands midway between the two epic tragedies of the beginning of Scripture, the fall and the flood. But in the middle of darkness, he is a shining testimony of faith. Lamech was the seventh son from Adam in the line of Cain. And it was in the wicked life of Lamech that ungodliness seems to reach its treacherous peak. However, Enoch was the seventh son from Adam in the line of Seth. And it seems that in Enoch's holy life of faith, that godliness reaches its righteous climax. Enoch is the first human being to escape death, and he did it by faith. By faith. This is another way of saying, by the way, he didn't do it. He placed his confidence in God, and God did it. Genesis 5, if you read it, is the chapter of death. We read over and over in that chapter those ominous words, and he died, and he died, and he died. But faith interrupts the normal way of things. Everybody around you may think that the world is coming to a close. Everybody around you may be panicked. Everybody, but faith can interrupt the normal way of things. Everybody around Enoch was dropping and dying, but Enoch's faith interrupted the normal way of things. You want to be unique? You want to stand out? Trust Christ. Enoch lived by faith. He walked with God. It does not say that God walked with him. He walked with God. Like Abel, he wants to do things God's way. In communion and obedience, he had fellowship with Almighty God. He fulfilled verse number 6 by pleasing God. He came to God. He believed that God was who he says he was, and that God would reward him according to his faithful seeking of his presence. Enoch came to God believing all that, and God kept his promise to Enoch. God richly rewarded Enoch with the greatest reward in the history of existence itself, namely his perpetual presence. Enoch was walking with God one day, as Brother B.R. Lakin who used to say it this way, and God turned and looked at Enoch and said, "Well, we're closer to my house than your house anyhow, so just come on with me." And Enoch was now, he had never seen anybody translated before, but he believed God could do anything God said he would do, and by faith, Enoch was translated. He was taken to live in the eternal presence of God without tasting the poison of death. Enoch's testimony is loud and clear. We learn in Jude, the book of Jude, the letter of Jude, that Enoch was a preacher of righteousness, that he warned of ungodliness and judgment to come. His testimony is still being heard today. Faith is a possession that leads to a demonstration of a continual walk with God. He could not get enough of Jehovah God. He exemplifies the life of faith. You say, how do I determine in my life who I'm walking with? You keep asking yourself the question, why? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I try to make money? Why do I live, breathe, move, and have my being? What is the purpose of my... If your why, whatever that why in your life is, once you get to the last one, that's who you're walking with and who you're living for. We should obey 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. We do that by faith. Enoch walked with God, and he escaped the great enemy of death. I'd like you to know that all of you that are walking with God by faith tonight, you too will escape death. Now, death may land on you. You may have a small taste. You may shed this earthly shell. But you too will be translated and glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. The third witness, the third person we need to look at tonight, we looked at Abel. He shows us that faith worships the right way. We looked at Enoch. He showed us that faith walks the right way. But what about Noah? Noah shows us that faith witnesses the right way. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was mindful of God's word. When God spoke, Noah paid attention. This word that was given to Noah of a coming flood and the commandment to build the ark came over 100 years before the flood ever came. Noah was mindful of God's word. Noah had never seen a drop of rain. He lived in a world where not a drop of rain had ever fallen. Yet, he starts building a boat. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. We have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with these physical eyes. Yet we love Him and worship Him and live for Him. Peter says, writing to the New Testament church, he says, "You have not seen Him, yet He is still precious to you." That is faith. Noah was mindful of God's word. And because he was mindful of God's word, he was motivated by the reverence and fear of God. The Bible says that when Noah was warned of God, he was moved with fear, with reverence. He did not only listen to the word of God, but he sought to apply the word of God to his life. That's what faith does. He believed and acted upon his belief. We behave according to what we believe. Building an ark for a flood in a world where rain had not yet fallen looked foolish to the blind people all around Noah. Yet Noah was faithful because of the eyes of faith to continue to build for 100 years. He was mindful of God's word, therefore he was motivated by fear for God, and therefore he was mighty in service for God. What a marvelous example he is of living by faith. Not only was he building the ark with one hand, but with the other hand he was preaching that judgment was coming. He was a creature of righteousness to all around him, witnessing faithfully of coming judgment. He put his whole testimony, his whole life on the line that God would keep his word. And God always comes through. He was a man of great faith. Because he was mindful, motivated, and mighty in service for God, he was marked as a child of God. The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir or child of the righteousness which is by faith. The righteousness of God was given to Noah, and Noah became a child of God by faith through grace. He witnessed rightly because he trusted in God. We must do the same tonight. We must witness to all those around us. We must help those around us understand tragedy and calamity from God's perspective. I personally believe that this is God's way of calling the world to repentance. I personally believe that we should take advantage of it and come to God, repenting of our sin and freshly trusting in Him, seeking to worship Him rightly like Abel did, seeking to walk with Him rightly like Enoch did, and seeking to witness for Him rightly like Noah did. All of that can only be accomplished through the strength of God, which is accessed by faith. And so therefore we have three giant examples of living the life of faith. These are shining testimonies to the fact that faith is not only a one-time profession, but it is a lifelong possession. It is a life-changing possession that alters our very existence and turns it to the glory of Almighty God. We know not today what tomorrow may bring, whether sunshine, darkness, or pain. But the Lord that we know rules over everything, and all of our worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. That is how we should live. in these days. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for these three shining testimonies that you have placed in Scripture for us. Three fallible fallen sinners that lived three heroic lives, not because they were great, but because they served a great God and trusted Him. We too, as small, fallen, fallible sinners, can make a dent and a difference by faith through grace in Almighty God. Would you touch us? Would you help us in this time of difficulty? Would you be with all those that are sick and afflicted with this virus, and many that are sick and afflicted with other things as well? Would you be with every church that is struggling financially and emotionally through this time? And would you strengthen them? God, I pray that you'd help us to come out of this even stronger and even closer to you. We'll give you glory. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.